Praise God. Okay. So when I heard Charlotte was speaking today, I was kind of excited because that meant I didn't have to. Okay, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to come together to hear your word. We thank you for being the awe and then some to each and every one of us. I ask that I decrease and you increase, that they hear what you need to have them hear, and that I don't add anything else that extra. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So my title is Freedom from Debt. Of course, I've had many titles for this, but you know, you all know how the Lord works. When you think you know something, he tells you something different. And so what the scripture he gave me for this was John 8 and 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, I'd like to put out a disclaimer. I am not a financial advisor. I'm just a person who believes God wants me to be the lender and not the borrower, okay? And he wants that for you too. So according to the Oxford Dictionary, freedom is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. So the question for you today, what are you a slave to? If you have unnecessary debt, you are a slave to something. Whether it be, as my friend Wanda would say, purses. whether it be to Starbucks. You know, if you have astronomical credit card debt that has nothing to do with your bills, you are a slave to something. So as this is not something new to me. I have actually been, I'm on my third try of, not. I'm not gonna say try, I'm on my third time of becoming debt free. I've done it twice before. Yes, but you know, sometimes we fail. But thanks be unto God. In my learning, I have, there were three people who kind of influenced me the most. One was Steve Rode. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he had a talk radio show. And how I got to that show was my kids were driving me crazy one day in the car. And so I turned on talk radio. I said, okay, well, I know how to get you quiet. Well, lo and behold, the Lord had something for me because Steve Rode was on there, and he was talking about having debt and how to get out of it. And his philosophy is life trumps debt, happiness trumps sorrow, kindness trumps evil, good wins, and practice safe debt. And I thought, wow, okay. So, you know, that little nugget helped me out. Susie Orman, you've probably heard of her. She kept having me ask myself, can I afford this? Usually it was no, but I bought it anyway, hence the debt. Dave Ramsey, he teaches on financial peace. By the time I made it to Dave Ramsey, I had already, you know, gotten out of debt twice. Because, you know, by listening to the others. But what I learned from Dave Ramsey was that he did a biblical approach to becoming debt-free. And, you know, you think, oh, well, there can't be that much in the Bible about being debt-free. Well, Carla's about to tell you about it. But first, I want you to do one thing. The first thing you're going to do is an assessment of yourself. And you should examine yourself. And that's in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Let's see. Also, you need to ask yourself, do you believe God's word is true? Okay? Deuteronomy 28 and 12 says, the Lord will send rain at the proper time for his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. And that's in the New Living Translation. So God wants you to be the lender and not the borrower. In Proverbs 22 and 7, the rich in the New International Version says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Who are you a slave to? Also, your steps are ordered by the Lord. In Psalms 37 and 23 through 24, in the King James Version, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, and some of us will fall many times, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. In the New Living Translation, it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by his hand. I love when the Lord holds me by his hand. So this one really, I have to thank Jody for this one, because she taught on, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. So with that, who are you trying to impress?
That's right.
Yeah. Who are you trying to impress by buying all of these unnecessary things that you really don't need? And in John 17, 14 through 17 says, I have given them thy word, and the word hath hated them, because they are not of this world. Again, who are you trying to impress? You are not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay? So the second thing in your assessment is, you have to ask yourself if you are willing to sacrifice. Yes, there must be sacrifice in order to get out of debt. Now, the Lord asked us in Matthew 16 and 24 to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Okay? In also, Philippians 4:19 says that God would supply every need, okay? So if you have to sacrifice, don't worry about it. God will supply every need that you have. Now, this other sacrifice, and I know it's hard for some people, but you must not just be a hearer of God's word, you must also be a doer, okay? So I can speak all night, the Lord can give you everything that you need, but unless you put some action behind that, it doesn't mean anything. And it says in King James, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So that's like looking in the mirror, seeing yourself, and walking away and saying, now what did I look like again? Okay? So you must honestly put some action behind this. Okay? So our next thing we must do, B, is make a plan. All right? Write the vision. If you don't write it down, then you, at least when I don't write it down, I don't feel like I accomplish what I set out to do, because I tend to forget. And a lot of people think that it's just writing down, this is what I'm going to do. But you also have to, you write it down, even, I still write down everything that I spend. Because I found out if I just swipe, 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 I'm broke. Honestly. So I still write down things as if I have a checkbook, but the checkbook is too small, so I have to use a notebook, which I forgot to bring to show you guys. But anyway, in Habakkuk 2:2-3 says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it surely will come true. It will not tarry." The message says, and then God answered, "Write this. Write what you see. Write it in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. The vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming." So if you write down this vision of becoming debt free, it is something that is coming. And like I said, I've gotten out of debt twice. I think third time's a charm. Trusting you, Lord, in this. But, you know, each time I've learned, and I've actually done this in probably every stage of our financial life. So I've done it when we had close to nothing. I've had when we had a little bit more than nothing, and I've had it where I've had, you know, I've been blessed to have the extra money to do these things. But the one thing I don't do is I do not spend anything and not give my tithe. So I just want you all to know that, you know. But yes, I write the vision. So the making the plan is where we're going to come in a little more on how to do this, okay? So the first thing you want to do is you want to list and calculate your debt. And that means any credit card debt, loans, doctor's bills, anything like that that you may have. If it's something that you want to be free from as far as debt, even if it's your house, that is one of the big things that we have decided that we wanted to do. We still have a house in Texas and that we're renting out, and we want to pay it off. And the Lord and I wrote a vision to have that house paid off when we decide to start paying it off next year, to have it paid off within 2 years. I believe the Lord for that, because every word that he says is true. Amen. And so, and pastors know that, you know, what we've been trying to accomplish. And in December, I told the Lord, I said, I want to be debt free. I said, there are no ifs, ands, or buts. I will be debt free by December 31st. I wrote the vision. I said, this is what I want to do. You would be amazed at what the Lord will do when you are firm in your belief and you bring his word back to him. So we have four things that we want to pay off. We have to pay off our taxes. We had our truck. We had have a credit card, and then we have another loan that we want to pay off by December 31st. In January, we paid off the taxes. Over $6,000 we were able to pay off in 1 month. And I just thank the Lord for that. So come February, we were like, okay, we got a truck we want to pay off. As of March, I want to say 11th, or it may have been the second week in March, we no longer have a truck payment. The Lord blessed us to pay off $9,000 in 6 weeks. And that is why I say, when you are firm in your belief in that this is what I want to do, this is the vision, then the Lord will give you everything you need. We were having checks come in that we didn't even expect. You know, we were like, oh, and then the government said, oh, you know what? We didn't pay you your money on time. We're going to give you a little extra. Well, praise God. So, yes, when you are firm and you believe it, the Lord would make it happen for you. So now we are in the process of paying off a credit card. We were going to pay off the loan, which is very small, but we realized that the loan has no interest. So if it's not, you know, accruing any interest, why pay it off? We were like, oh, it can be last. By the time we pay off this credit card, we can pay that off in one lump sum. Okay? So we are, and we've already, since mid-March, we've paid off about $6,000 on the credit card. So the Lord blessed me in that I received a job, and pastors know I always say, Lord, please increase my tithe. You know, I don't ask for the job. I ask the Lord to increase my tithe. And so I know that in increasing my tithe, the job will come. Well, I did get a job that wasn't even posted. Someone told me about the job. I applied for the job. I was told that they would post the job and interview people first. Well, no one applied for the job. I got it. And that, each paycheck, this is where that sacrifice comes in. Every single paycheck that I get, once the tithe is paid, it goes on the credit card. It goes nowhere but the credit card. And so I thank God for his faithfulness and for loving me enough to do that for me. Because, you know, I mean, I could be still, you know, sitting here like, Lord, how are we going to pay this? Or as Pastor said once, Lord, you got a bill. So once you have listed and calculated all of your debt, you want to calculate your income, okay? So that is whatever you get from your employer in your employment, any retirement pay, rental property, for you young people, your side hustle, things like that. And you're going to add them all up. So a lot of times you're going to notice that, you know, you got a little bit of income and a lot of bit of bills. Yeah. All right. So what you're going to do is you're going to create a budget. All right. So when you create this budget, you're going to be sure to sacrifice. If you normally buy Starbucks and pay $5 for that coffee every day, go to McDonald's and pay 79 cents or a dollar. You're gonna save money. Think about that. You're gonna save $4 a day for 5 days because you're probably doing it during the weekday. That's $20 that you have to go put on another bill. Okay? If you're used to buying brand name foods, buy the generic. Sometimes they taste just as good. All right? But when you sacrifice, please, 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 please do not sacrifice your tithe. Okay? Do not sacrifice that tithe. And it's so funny because ever since I found out about giving your tithe, that has been my favorite scripture. I know it sounds weird, but Malachi 3:8-12 is my favorite scripture. It says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, for he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall you your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So, with that being said, you know, you're looking at your budget and you're saying, well, you know, if I took these tithes, I can pay this off a little faster. Did you hear that? That was that window closing. You know, he said he'll open up the window. That window just closed. Not saying you won't be blessed, but it won't be overflowing your blessings. And so that I've always done this. When I give my tithe, if we decide to get a house, I subtract the tithe first. This is what we can work with. Everything that I do, it's after the tithe have been taken out. And a lot of people who know me know that if you ask me to do something, the first thing I'll say is, it's not in my budget. Because I've already budgeted my money out. So yes, I will tell you it is not in my budget. Now, Luke 36 and 38 says, give and God will give it back to you in abundance. Okay, so you're sacrificing, but the Lord is still giving, okay? Proverbs 3 and 9 says, honor the Lord with the first fruits. That means give what's right, not what's left, okay? Another thing that you'll do when you create your budget, put savings in the budget. I know you're thinking, there is no way I can do this, but you can. And the Lord says you should. You'll be surprised, because I was surprised that in Genesis 41, 34 through 36, the Lord told Joseph to say store up for the famine. Uh-huh. That's right. So guess what? You may have a famine season you need to store up for. So yes, you can save. And that's not saying that you need to put this big number in. If you can afford $10 to put in your savings every paycheck, put $10 in your savings. If you can afford $1,000, let me hold some. All right, so these are the things that you want to do. So the next thing we're going to do is execute your plan. And in executing your plan, you must understand that in James 2 and 17, it says, faith without works is dead. Okay? That in the New Living Translation, it says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. The New International Version says, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. And I love this one, the Passion Translation. So when faith that doesn't involve, then faith that doesn't involve action is phony. Don't have phony faith. Okay? Don't have phony faith. So now with executing your plan, I want to speak to those who are couples first. And this is because usually in a relationship, you're going to have somebody that loves to spend and somebody that loves to save. And my husband, I asked permission first to say this. I love to save. He loves to spend. But he has been doing so great that I told him that UPS, USPS, FedEx, and everyone else is going to come and do a wellness check on him, because there have been no packages coming to our house. So I'm very proud of him for that one. All right. But as far as couples, both parties must be on board. And not just on board, but you must be fully on board. Because if you only have one who's trying and the other is not, it's like tug of war. You're just going back and forth and you're getting nowhere. So, also, and I love this from Dave Ramsey. He says that in when you have couples, you have a nerd and you have a Laffy Taffy. Okay? I'm the nerd. How many nerds we have in here? The nerd is the one who likes to save. You know, it's, they call us cheap. I like to call us frugal. Okay? It sounds so much better. All right, the Laffy Taffy likes to spin. They will take it and stretch, you know, and they want to stick it here, they want to spin here, and all of a sudden that net just keeps getting longer and longer. All right, so we got some Laffy Taffys in here. Okay. All right, and the third thing you want to do is decide who will keep the budget. And the reason I say that is not everyone wants to budget. I budget, but I budget for like a month and it takes me hours, like 3 hours, because I want to make sure everything goes everywhere and all of that. So it does work best to work together, but my husband would rather not. I've tried, I've given incentives. I told him I can make snacks. Didn't work. Didn't work at all. So, those are the three things that I want couples to keep in mind. Now, the way that we're gonna do this is you have two ways to get out of debt. You can either do a snowball or you can do an avalanche. Now, when you do a snowball, what you're gonna do is you're going, while you're paying off your debt, you want to make the minimum payments on everything, except for the one that you're trying to pay off first, okay? So you're gonna take that one, and after you've decided that you're not gonna go to Starbucks and you just saved like $20, you're gonna put that extra 20 on your credit card, that or bill or whatever bill it is that you have that's the smallest. This is how the snowball works. So you're gonna do that, and every month you're gonna do it until you pay it off. Then you're gonna, once that's paid off, you're gonna take that entire amount you were paying on that bill and you're gonna go to the next one. You're gonna take that amount plus what you're already paying and you're going to pay that one. Then you're gonna take that amount and then you're gonna put it on the next one along with what you were paying. And as you see, the snowball keeps getting bigger and bigger. So by the time you make it to the last one, you have this huge snowball, okay? And you're able to put more on that. You can also do the avalanche. The avalanche is paying off the biggest item and then trickling that down to the smallest, okay? A lot of times that works out when you have a high interest bill. You know, it's like so big that no matter how much you pay, you still feel like you owe the same amount. So that's the one you're gonna start, you would start off with first, and then you get to take that amount, pay off the smaller one, smallest interest on down. So that's how the snowball and the avalanche work. You can also do principal only payments. That's what we ended up doing on the truck. But not every lender will let you do that for free. We were blessed to have a bank that allows that. If you want to pay off, you know, something early, there are no penalties for it. So with us paying that off, we had gap insurance on our truck and then they gave us a refund. So we took that refund and we put it on the next bill. Amen. Okay? So always ask first if your lender charges a fee for you paying it off early or for making a principal only payments, which they will get your, it will take it down so much, it's amazing. I honestly do it on my mortgage. It wasn't intentional. I had set up a payment amount and we were paying it. And then we got, you know, the next year they recalculated and it was less than what we were paying, but we never changed it. We just kept it going. So now we pay like an extra $100 a month on our principal. And they automatically did it for us. I'd called and they said that we needed to state it every month, but now they just automatically put it on the principal. Praise God for that one. You can also do split payments. A lot of people don't know that if you, let's say you have a car payment and you split it up and you pay half, please be sure you pay it on time. Don't make your payments late, but split them up. By the time you finish 1 year of payment, you've made an extra payment. And it also kind of frees up a little money for you by paying half, let's say on the 15th and the other half on the 1st, so that you're not putting that whole lump sum at one time. And then you have your extra payments. If you want to make some extra payments, do it after the 15th of the month. Okay, because they recalculate around the 15th, so you pay it on the 16th. Yes. These are just a little things, few things that I learned along the way, you know, and it has helped me, and I do pray that it helps you. So in rebuilding credit, do not, now repeat, do not cancel your credit cards. I know you will hear a lot of people say, cancel your credit cards once you pay them off. Don't do that if you're trying to rebuild your credit. And the reason being is that when you cancel that card, then your average age of your cards decrease and your credit score will drop. So what you want to do is just pay it off and keep it open. But once you keep it open, then you want to use it, at least that's what I do, every 3 to 4 months, I'll spend some money, you know, on the card. It's a very small amount, but it keeps the card open, and it does show, you know, some utilization. My daughter loves when that 3 or 4 months come around, because I'll call her and say, go put some gas in your car so I can use my card. And she doesn't have to pay it back, so she really loves that one. So 10% utilization is excellent. Okay, that's really good. 3% utilization is optimal. Okay, so you want to use 10% when you spend, but 3%, kind of keep it at 3%. And the types of credit cards you want to do are cards that give you cash back. I love cash back credit cards. I started putting I want to get to the point where every single bill goes on a credit card. And because I'm going to pay it anyway, so why not pay it off? I opened a card in March of last year, and I was putting everything. We flew to Missouri, it went on the card. Rented a car, went on the card. Bought groceries, everything went on the card. I just cashed out $300 off the card. You know, I'm like, wow, this works. So now I want to put everything on the card because I love making money while spending money. Works for me. So those are the best ones to do. And since I have a few more minutes, I wanted to talk to you all about a few things. The myth. Christians shouldn't have money and nice things. You know, people tell you that all the time. Oh, well, you know, you should be sacrificing. The pastor shouldn't be driving a nice car. You know, things like that. Because, you know, we shouldn't be loving money. And you're right. We shouldn't love money because the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 6:10. It did not say money is the root of all evil. It says the love. That means that you put money above God and above everything else. So that is something you need to keep in mind. Also, the truth is, in Psalms 35:27, the Lord delights in the prosperity of his people. Okay? Deuteronomy 8:16 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So the Lord gives you power to get wealth. Okay? So don't you know, let people tell you that you're not supposed to have this and you're not supposed to have that. Yeah, you may not supposed to have it if you are in debt. Please ask yourself if you can afford it. If you got a lot of credit card debt, you can't afford it. I promise you, you can. All right. Another thing, God will provide. When you are getting yourself, I don't want to say trying, I want to say doing, when you're getting yourself out of debt, because this is an action thing. We have to do it. If God says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. That's John 15 and 7 in the New Living Translation. In Matthew 6 and 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all shall be provided to you. Not some, all. Job 36 and 11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Psalm 84 and 11 says, no good thing will he withhold from you. And the last thing I want to remind you is to not give up. Don't give up. John 10:10 says, the enemy, this is Carla's version, I would just want to make that disclaimer too. The enemy comes to steal your money, kill your relationship or your dream, and destroy your faith. But God comes to give you abundant life. Yeah. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Proverbs 16 and 3. Commit to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Okay? And this one last scripture that God just, you know, he threw it out at me, and I'm not sure. I know I've seen it, but he gave it to me last night. And I said, Lord, if I have time, I'll read it. And he gave me time. So Romans 13 and 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Thank you.